Well, amen. Good to have you back tonight. How many of you are thankful to be back tonight? All right, just checking, okay? There's always one or two perhaps question, but you are here. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. And we just ask now that you turn to 2 Timothy and chapter 1. We're going to return there tonight, the time that God has given us tonight to continue this series on deepening your life with the Lord. If you recall, last week we looked at verses 1 through 10, primarily 1 through 5, 1 through 7. We didn't dwell at length on verse 6 and 7. Tonight I would like for us to look at that verse. But if you recall last week, the Apostle Paul is writing this epistle. It would be his last letter. And he's writing it to a kindred spirit, young Timothy. As I noted last evening, Timothy was prone to discouragement. He had a hard ministry. Paul had asked him to minister there in Ephesus. Any city is a hard ministry, but particularly during this time period with all the paganism that was going on. And Paul said to Timothy, I want you to minister in Ephesus. Now again, I know I'm repeating myself, but I said in passing, perhaps not last week, but I have said it, that Ephesus had many good qualities when I talk about the church at Ephesus. And yet there came a point in their really brief time that they would leave their first love. The book of Revelation in chapter 2 brings that out. And there's a message that could be presented just from that church alone, how they left the first love, indicating that they came to a point where they left loving the Lord like they should. And of course, anyone, I guess, in the Christian faith can come to that point, but this was a little different, and perhaps in the future, God will allow us to go there and look at that church in particular. But Paul realized that this was going to be his last letter. He was awaiting execution, and he would die. He says, I fought a good fight, but I finished my course. And I'm looking forward to what God has for me in heaven. He says, Timothy, I want you to stay true and faithful to the calling that God has given you. It isn't going to be easy, but you must do it. What I am interested in as we begin to go further into this little letter is the fact that the Apostle Paul showed great love for Timothy. You see that early on in chapter 1, and where we got our message from last week, renewing our vision, different aspects of renewing our vision to serve and to pray and outreach and nurture, those things that I mentioned last week. But as he goes on in this letter, he begins to balance out his love and, yes, his concern for Timothy and his emotional state toward Timothy to say, now, Timothy, I understand where you are, but I also understand the importance of you remaining faithful to the calling that God has placed upon you. So what am I saying? Yes, there was a very compassionate element. And now, as you go into the letter, he bounces out and says, yes, I am compassionate towards you. I love you. Make no mistake about it. But you have to remain faithful. You have to do it. So love, and then this is what you have to do as you go into this letter. And Paul uses himself. And we'll see this as we go on. He uses himself to let Timothy know how he is to conduct himself in the ministry. So it's very, very important that we see that as we progress in this letter. Now, I want us to break in to chapter 1, and let's go to verse 5, and we'll read a little bit there. He says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also," let me stop here. Was Paul persuaded that Timothy was a man of great faith? Most certainly, he was a man of great faith. Now notice, if you will, in verse 6. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance," I want you to remember, Timothy, "that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind." Verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." I'll end the reading here and ask that we bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be encouraged tonight by this letter, by the words of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. Introverted, yes. Poor in health, yes. Prone to discouragement, yes. And yet Paul says, "Timothy, remain faithful to the ministry. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." And Father, I pray tonight that we, as we will ultimately leave and go back to our homes and begin our week, I ask, Lord, that we would lift our heads high, knowing how grateful we are to know you as personal Savior. The duties and the expectations of our leaders here at the church, Lord, may you give them extra strength, extra wisdom as they proceed, Lord, throughout this week, overseeing and governing the ministry here. Lord, we are grateful now for your love toward us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. We see in verse 6, he told Timothy, he said, "Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift of God." Now, the Apostle Paul, by no imagination of thought, this is fact, that Timothy was given a gift. Now, where does our gifts for serving the Lord Jesus Christ come from? Well, we know it comes from our Savior. The Holy Spirit, of course, gives those gifts. And there are many gifts found in Scripture that would indicate to us how important our gifts are and how we are to use them, or we should use them, for the Lord Jesus Christ and his service. We could go to Romans. We could go to 1 Corinthians, two different places there. We could go to Ephesians. We could go to 1 Peter chapter 4. All these places share with us different gifts, whether it's a gift of helps per se or the gifts of ministration, the gift of faith. We could go into each one of them. There was also, at that time, we know sign gifts to authenticate the scripture. They have since ceased, I believe, very strongly. I believe that. They are no longer needed because we have the complete canon. We have the complete Bible. And by the way, we don't need to add to the Bible, do we? We don't need to take away from the Bible. In fact, it's dangerous to attempt to do so. That's the reason I stay away from religions that have their own Bible. I remember sitting in the airport with my wife when we were out in Nevada, and we were there near the temple, actually, there in Salt Lake City, Utah, but we were catching a flight out of there. And a young lady walked up to us, she's with a great smile and talking with us. She said, "May I just sit and talk with you a little bit?" And we said, "Sure." And she introduced herself, and it wasn't long. She pulled out the Book of Mormon. She had it highlighted. She was going on a Mormon mission trip. You know, they do that. And she did everything she could possibly to persuade us that her religion was right. And it was and is a religion. But there, when you have something besides the Bible to go to, you have to be very, very careful to preach about Jesus Christ. And of course, we know much about the Mormons and what they believe, and really, it's not good. Joseph Smith and all those who found that religion. You can say that about any religion. We do not need to add to the Word of God. We do not need to take away from the Word of God. God has given us certain gifts. Now, those gifts are to be used. The Bible says we need to use those gifts. And by the way, if you don't use something, what usually happens? Yeah, you either lose it or it rusts, right? There are many things. When my boys were younger, one of the things that really irritated me, and I know I'm getting off track a little bit, but one of the things that irritated me was when my boys would take a tool, like a wrench or something, and they would use it for their bike or whatever they were working on, and guess what they would notoriously do after they were finished with that wrench? There you go, John. They put it on the ground. A month later, I say, "Where's my wrench? I don't know where it is. I want to use it." You know, crescent wrench or whatever it is, open-ended wrench or, you know, whatever it was. And I go out there, and of course the rain had come and things like that, and it had already begun to kind of seize up. And it always irritated me, but I could never get it corrected, and I just had to live with it. We have to use the gifts that God has given us. The Apostle Paul was saying to Timothy, "Timothy, you have a gift. That gift was presented to you by the laying on of the presbytery, by the hands." You see that in 1 Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 14. It says this, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. So, Timothy, what has happened to you because of the hardship of this ministry and because of your own temperament and makeup, you are now allowing your life, your ministry, not so much your ministry, but yourself, to lose its flame, to die out to the point where it needs to be rekindled. Now, if you are a camper or have been camping and you started a fire, you put wood on the fire at night, and when you put that wood on the fire, what does it do normally if it's good wood? You got a little fire there and you put wood on it, what does it do? It burns and gets brighter, right? But overnight, as the temperature cools and as the wood burns down, you go to sleep in your tent or whatever, camper, and by the time you get up in the morning, that fire has died out. Not to the point where it was extinguished, but it has died down. So what do you do? Normally what you can do is kick the embers around and you'll see a little bit of a glow there and you kind of blow smoke on those embers. And then you put a little more wood on it, and it does what? It flames back up. So we see here, Paul was telling Timothy, "Timothy, you're allowing the fire of your personal life, your relationship with the Lord here, because of the hardship of the ministry, to lose its flame. And you should not do that." And he goes on to talk about that. You say, why was he losing his flame? Listen, there are many hardships that come into our lives. Make no mistake about it. I'm sympathetic to that. I've had a lot of them myself. I'm sympathetic. But yet those hardships cannot keep us or should not keep us from keeping the flame of serving Jesus Christ, exercising our gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember we spent 22 years in New Jersey. I was telling Brother Dick and Margo this afternoon at lunch. I spent 22 years in New Jersey with my wife. We started a ministry there, and we're there in a Christian school and so forth. And in that area, there was a young missionary many, many years before us, His name was David Brennard. And he was a missionary to the Indians. Several Indian peoples were in that area. And he would minister to these people on horseback. And he, it is said that he had a fleece skin from a sheep or lamb, and he would go get off his horse, and he would go up into the woods there, lay that sheepskin out, and get on it and just pray and pray and pray for the salvation of the Indians. But he had many hardships. He lived in 1718, that's when he was born. He lived till 1747. He was 29 years of age. 29 years of age when he died. And we are told from history that when he died, he had traveled, think about this, may not mean much now in the light of the automobile, but he traveled in that area out there 3,000 miles on horseback, witnessing to the Indians, wanting them to come to know the Savior that he knew. He died at 29 years of age, David Brennard. Hardships. But he kept serving the Lord with the gifts that God had given him. He endured so, this is what is said, he endured those hardships so that I could but gain souls for Christ. While I was asleep, I dreamt of such things, and when I woke, the first thing I thought of was winning souls to Christ. Can you imagine? 29 years of age when he went to be with the Lord. The Apostle Paul's desire was to encourage Timothy. He exhorted him to exercise fully his spiritual gift, relying on the Holy Spirit's enabling. Paul placed emphasis on the future for Timothy and not on the hardships that was involved with his present ministry. Listen, we can't afford to dwell on the hardships of our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot. We only have one life to live, and that is a short life as we consider our eternal life. The Bible teaches that our life is but a vapor. The steam comes off like a teapot, and it's a vapor. We only have one life to live. And I know that you've had hardships. I have had hardships. But we cannot allow those hardships to stop us from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason the Apostle Paul is going to balance out his compassion with Timothy. You've got to endure. You've got to endure. Paul placed emphasis on the future for Timothy and not on the hardships that was involved with his present ministry. His call was for Timothy to be redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Timothy now is exhorted to bring to full blaze. That's what he's saying here. To bring to full blaze. Stir up the gift of God. Stir up the embers so they will reignite and that flame will begin to burn up brightly. You have to do it, Timothy. Use your spiritual gift. The imagery of fire, and we know this, Fire, oftentimes in scriptures, looked at as judgment, but it also, fire is a common one throughout the scripture. Who makes his ministers, the Bible says, flames of fire? Flames of fire. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. And Jeremiah 20, I was there this morning, the weeping prophet, verse 8 and verse 9. He had a heart as a burning fire, as a burning fire. This is Jeremiah. He could not stop telling those people about the word of God. He shared through prophecy the word of God with them because his heart was on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, folks. We have to be careful that we don't let our light become dim, right? There's enough dimness in the world. My wife and I had an electricity problem 2 weeks ago now. A lot of different things happened. Coffee pot blew. The compressor on the refrigerator blew. You want to hear the rest of my plight? I mean, I could go on and on and on. And I'm just now, the receiver on the fan in the living room blew. And Pat's on air, so that went out. Had to try to get the portable. I mean, I could go on and on and on about what happened. But you know what? There's a cure. And I've been putting it off for years. And my wife, she came to the point of threatening me. Wives, have you ever come to that point of threatening your husband? Oh, no, I bet. Okay. She says, you're going to get a Generex. Now, she doesn't know what a Generex is, really, but she's heard advertising. You're going to get a Generex. That's it, or I'm going to die. I ordered a Generex the next day. I don't want her to die, but I didn't want to pay for it either. So, but you know what? She's far more valuable than money, isn't she? And I love my wife. But I could go on. Hardships, that's just 2 weeks ago. That's okay. You know what? Replace the coffee pot. Get a new compressor for the refrigerator. Get a receiver. Oh, I forgot to tell you something. The furnace, the transformer blew. Oh, can I tell you one more thing? Because the transformer blew on the furnace, the air wouldn't work, and it wasn't working anyway because it was low on Freon, I realized, after the guy came out. And so it was 96, 97? And guess what? No air. That's okay. You know what? Those are little things compared to what Christ did for us. Did you know that? You go on and you serve with the gifts that God has given you. You bring them into the body of Christ. They work together. The body of Christ functions like it should. And the body of Christ rejoices in the Lord. The Lord had entrusted a spiritual gift to Timothy in order that his life might make an eternal contribution to the kingdom of God. The spiritual gift also ensured Timothy, as ours does, of course, that he was vitally significant. He was a vitally significant individual. Listen, folks, each one of you tonight, and I'm going to include myself in this, you are specially made. God made you the way he's made you for his glory and for his honor. And you can serve him with whatever gifts and ability God has given you. You can do that. You see, I can't do much. Whatever you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ, that would be wonderful. Because that's all God expects. He provides. This spiritual gift ensured Timothy that he was a significant individual. Residing within us is a God-given ability, which when ignited by the Holy Spirit, could and will burst forth in a blaze that we would consider holy, kindling other lives around us with that same holy fire. Listen, you say, preacher, what are you telling us? I'm saying that we have to maintain a healthy blaze in serving Jesus Christ. Don't let your life service for Christ die out. I want to give you three areas of thought concerning this passage of Scripture, the verse in particular, as we go on. The first one is simple. In verses 6 and 7, we are, and I've already stated it, but I'm going to give it this point, is we are to exercise the gift or gifts that God has given us. Paul encouraged Timothy to remain faithful. That's all God is looking for, just to remain faithful to the calling God has placed upon your life in service. There was a story told, and it was written down, and I just share it with you by way of illustration. It's concerning a young man and an old man. The young man was walking on the beach along the seashore, and the older man took notice that he was picking up starfish. And he had these starfish in his hand, and then he would take them and throw them back into the water. The old man was curious, and he said, there's millions of these things along this coastline, along this beach. Why are you spending your time picking up starfish and throwing them back in to the ocean? He said, well, sir, listen. He said, I realize there's millions of them, and I realize there's effort in doing this, but it's important for me to do so, because if I can save just one, it will be worth it all. And he went about his business, picking up those starfish and throwing them back into the ocean. Listen, if you can, with your gifts and your abilities, rescue one, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. It does make a difference to that one. We find there was a charge here as we exercise this gift to continue. Verse 6, he says, now, Timothy, you are to continue. Paul knew that Timothy was ministering in a godless environment. Listen, there's no better one here. The Apostle Paul, behind a prison wall, ready to leave this world, he knew the ministry was hard. He knew that Ephesus was a hard work. And yet he put young Timothy, he called him his son. He had a special relationship with him. He said, Timothy, I want you to take that ministry. I need someone when I'm gone to continue the fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. There have been many saints, you felt that within your own ministry. Men who have been part of this ministry that are now with the Lord through different circumstances. They're now with the Lord, and yet those men from in heaven, I believe, are encouraging you as part of the great witnesses to continue doing what God has called you to do through your gifts. Things were rough. Things were rough. You say, how rough were they? I do want to draw your attention to 1 Timothy, just a couple pages back, but let me share these verses with you. And they're found in chapter 1 and verse 3, and starting at verse 3 and going through verse 7. This is 1 Timothy. It was written 5 years earlier to Timothy, 5 years. And it says, and I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now, the end of the commandment is charity, or love, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. I want you to look at verse 19 and 20 as we look at the end of this chapter of 1 Timothy. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And then he goes on in verse 20 to name them, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Young Timothy had a tough ministry. I've been all over this country. I've been in many states. And one thing I realized in my own ministry, that there are hardships that you must deal with. But that doesn't stop you exercising your service for the Lord Jesus Christ. He charged Timothy, and it was a charge, to continue. Able by what? He didn't say just continue. This is what he added in verse 7, if you will, of 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right, let's examine that for a moment. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So we see here that our ministries, our service for the Lord is not done by our lonesome. What we have has been given to us by the Spirit of God. If you attempt to do anything apart from God, you may be able to accomplish something in the flesh, but it's going to be a lot harder and it will not last in the long run. We have this here stated that he's abled by the Spirit. We're talking about the strength of character here. He was not to exercise his gift with a spirit of fear. The word spirit here refers to a trait. Here in this verse, it is a spirit of trait, realizing that the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. But now we're dealing with this with a trait. If he had a spirit of cowardness, he would falter under the load of responsibilities that Paul placed on him. I can't tell you, I can name them by name, the ones that I know and the ones I've forgotten by name, who have left the ministry because of the hardship of the ministry. Again, and I'm not just saying this, but your pastor is to be commended for 48 years of service. You realize that. You understand that. Because pastors have hardships. It's not easy. But we have to remind ourselves, not only do pastors have hardships, we, the people of the church, also have hardships. You sat here tonight, and some of you, and I don't know you that well, but I can tell you that you, many of you that are here tonight, carry hardships in your heart. There's a broken heart. But yet you go on. Something has come into your life that has just shattered your heart. Yes, your heart has been mended, and yes, you're trusting the Lord and you're going on, but it was a hardship somewhere along in your life. That's okay, because you're serving the Lord. You're here tonight just as an indication to me that you're going to continue as you have been serving and using your gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ, enabled by the Spirit. But we see the strength of character here. You'll notice the word power. It says here in verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, dealing with our character here, the strength of character, but a power and of love. The word power here, the power that he needed was the strength of character to be bold in his ministry, the ability to say no to both untruth and unrighteousness. You have to remember they were messed up. That to hate sin while loving the one that's caught up in sinful behavior. Paul said, "Now listen, you've got to have that strength of character, that power." Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit of the inner man. Not only power, what is another one? Another word that you see here? Stir up the gift of God, verse 6, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, that's the strength of character, but of power and of love. I had someone say to me some years ago, don't remember the time or the date, but why do you speak so much on love? I want to tell you something, folks. I don't think you can overstate or overpreach the love that we are to have for Jesus Christ. And the extension of that love is to love others. I don't think you can overpreach that. I personally don't. You may disagree. But the older I get, the more I believe expressing that love is important. You know what Jesus said? You still with me? I realize it's hot and I'll only spend just a few more minutes here. You say, preacher, you are saying that. I promise you. The Bible says there in the upper room when he was with his disciples, his men there, and he told them that his time had come. They were confused and disheartened, not understanding really what was going on. But when you go to chapter 13 and verse 1, it says that he loved his own and he loved them to the fullest extent. In other words, or he loved them to the end is what it says there in the King James. What that is saying is he loved them to the full extent. He loved them to the end. Does our Savior ever stop loving you? Does he ever stop loving us? The answer to that question is very simple. He never stops loving us. The power here, the love. Love is produced by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is a love for God, first of all, as I mentioned this morning. When our love is focused on him and his purposes, then we can endure the severest opposition. So we have the power, we have the love, and we have the importance of a sound mind. Notice the last part of verse 7. And of a sound mind, what does that mean? That self-control, that discipline, if you will. The word speaks of being balance, having balance, or thinking properly, or thinking properly. You recall an incident in the Gospel of Mark? It's in Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, and through there these verses. We called him a maniac. He was living in the tombs. He was all alone. He was separated from his family. He was all alone. They tried to chain him. He was just like a wild man, and he broke the chains, and he was like a wild man. He was separated. Whole message could be preached from that passage of Scripture. And what really was occurring, he had demonic spirits living within him. And Jesus questioned the demonic spirit. And, of course, the Lord knows everything. And the demon spoke and said, there's many of us. It's like a legion. There were many. And the Lord said, listen, this is a wild man that they were living within him. And he said, listen, I'm going to cast you out. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And he did. And they wanted, desired a place to live. And guess where they ran to? A herd of swine. What did the swine do? They went over the cliff. They drowned. That's an interesting passage of Scripture. They drowned. But when the townspeople came out and they saw what happened, and then the religious elites came out and saw what was happening, they found the man sitting and clothed in his right mind. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here, listen, in this passage, it's used as a manager of a household who had an accurate assessment of the articles and their value in the house. Therefore, we also are to have an accurate assessment of what God has granted to us. Interestingly, the same word is used in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 in regards to our spiritual gift. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift, I believe, and therefore can be used of God significantly. Have you ever heard this expression? This is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Have you heard this expression? They may have stated it to me, but you may have heard it. What do I have to offer? What can I do for Christ? I want to tell you something. You can do what God asks you to do with the gift or gifts that God has given you. You can. We need to have that strength of character, that self-control, that discipline to do it. Much more could be said there. Number two, exercise the gift. Number two is experience hardships. Now, I've talked long and hard about hardships. Notice verse 8 through 10 again, if I may read these verses. Here's what Paul said. Now, I want you to remember where he is. You tell me where the Apostle Paul is at this present moment. He's writing this. Where is he? He's in prison. He's witnessed to many people in prisons that he was in, places of hardship. Now notice what he says here. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed, just what it says, just what it means, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be ashamed. But be thou partaker of the afflictions. In other words, partake the hardships of the gospel according to the power of God. Why do that? Why do that? Paul answers here. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This started way before us, what he has given us, but is now made manifest or made known by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See how important the gospel is? And he says, now listen, Timothy, you are going to have to partake in hardship, suffering. He's charged, if you will, to partake in suffering. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Don't feel embarrassed of Christ. Don't feel embarrassed of Christ. Men and women, don't feel embarrassed of serving and honoring and lifting up Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed for me. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I will continue to live my life out as short as it may be here on earth for the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be ashamed of me, Paul. You see the conditions of the gospel, or the provisions of the gospel, dealing with the conditions. Verse 9 and 10. Why we shouldn't be ashamed? Why? You say, preacher, why shouldn't I be ashamed? Because he saved us. By the way, this is one of the few times in the New Testament where the word save refers only to justification. Salvation from the penalty of sin. Salvation from the penalty of sin. In each case, when saved is used only for justification, it is used in the past tense. We could go to Ephesians 2:8. We could go to Titus 3:5. We could go to Luke 8:12. All of this. He saved us is what he said. Don't be ashamed. He called us there. Don't be ashamed. In other words, set apart. God has always desired his people to be set apart. Deuteronomy 7:6, Isaiah 52:11, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. From sin unto him, from sin unto him. We are to live a separated life unto him. We see God's purpose here. Our salvation and calling are utterly unmerited by us. Our righteous deeds are but, as the Bible would say, filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6. And the only thing our lives truly merit is the wrath of Almighty God. We have purpose in Christ. Also, an eternal calling, immortality, freedom from decay, and death. 1 Corinthians 15, we can live a victorious life. We can live victoriously. Verse 54, 55. And so we see two areas of thought. That is, we need to exercise our gift, stir it up. We need to experience hardships. We will. And then lastly, we are to expect safekeeping. I like what verses 11 and 12 says. It says, wherefore I am appointed. This is a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He uses that word ashamed again. For I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So Paul uses his ministry in verse 11 as an example of being faithful and keeping the flame going. We see that Paul's faithfulness to his God-given task resulted in open hostility from the very men he was trying to reach. The more he tried to reach people, the more they wanted to persecute him, the more they wanted to malign him, and ultimately they were able and succeeded in getting him executed. Undeserved suffering will drive us into one of these two camps. Undeserved suffering. Listen, folks, don't expect the world to fall in love with you. In fact, Jesus said, they hated me, therefore they're going to hate you, talking about the world. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, never expect being accepted by the world. You're not going to be. That's okay. Suffer hardship. We see that either it will purify our faith so that we become increasingly holy, or it will erode our confidence in God so that we become increasingly bitter. I could take the time, I won't tonight because of the time, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 through 15. We're not going to stay neutral. We're either going to draw close to the Lord or we're going to go away from the Lord. Against that day, I should note here again, against that day, that is the day when Christ shall appear for us and we will be glorified with him. Glorified with him. And there are verses that would back that up. Paul had no fears about the present or the future, for he was assured that his entire cause was in Christ's hand. Listen, folks, it is in Christ's hands. It is. And we are to go forward, and we are to keep. If you get anything out of this message tonight, I want you to leave here with this thought. Keep a flame for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Don't let the spiritual fire die out on your heart. You may have some embers there, so not all is lost, but you've got to continually kick them around, and so you can put some spiritual energy to that and let it burn brightly. Timothy, I have great compassion for you. I love you. I know it's hard, but Timothy, you've got to endure hardships. It will be worth it all. Amen. Isn't there a song? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Da, 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 da. When we see him. Lead us, Dick. The grace all sorrows will erase. Oh, lay down. Ecclesia. Amen. I didn't get all the words, but you did. And that's what counts. We are to run the race, right? Let's run it. Heat and all, let's run it. God bless you, folks. Love you in the Lord.